Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. It is Wednesday, September 20th. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman for the remainder of the week, although Walker Wildman, who's also in studio, assistant to the president, I think you said he'll be back for Trivia Friday.
Yep.
On Friday. Good.
He'll be back Friday.
Looking forward to that. He is in the nation's capital and surrounding areas hosting his spiritual heritage tour. And I'm not sure how many, there's always a real good group that goes on those. They always enjoy it. Get to speak to people sometimes at various AFA functions who speak so highly of that tour and learning about the nation's history from a Christian perspective. Well, joining us in studios, Chris Woodward, news anchor for American Family News. You're sitting in for Fred Jackson.
Yes.
Who's gone to the great White North.
Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia. That's right.
And hot this time of year.
Is it? I guess I have
no idea. I would imagine not. I actually spoke with someone in Vancouver on the opposite side of Canada a couple of days ago, and it was in the 50s there. So I would imagine in Nova Scotia, it's probably what we might call chilly here in the southeast.
Well, Fred said he was going to bring take a sweater and a light jacket. He's going up to visit family, and Fred is a Canadian, mm-hmm. which explains his love of hockey.
Yes,
he and is. I and one or two others around here. That's about it. Even mention it. Well, Chris, we have you in to do mm-hmm. what Fred usually does, and that is to bring us up to speed and bring our listeners up to speed on the major news,
right?
Stories that are going on.
Well, much like the last few days, we continue to have our eye on hurricanes, no pun intended there, of course. So we're certainly all paying attention to situations involving hurricanes. Brent, I would like to begin with clip three. Puerto Rico is feeling the fury of Hurricane Maria as winds over 150 miles per hour are ripping apart parts of the island, which many thought could stand the brunt of the storm, but Fox's Steve Harrigan is inside a cement parking garage in the city of San Juan. Roll it.
We are seeing large concrete hotels in the capital simply being torn apart minute by minute. We've seen large pieces of the side walls come out. We've seen balconies go flying, trees snapped in half. They warned the winds here could be 120 to 160 miles per hour over the next couple of hours. And their worst fear is really coming true so far, that the eastern part, the heavily populated part of this island, a U.S. territory of 3.5 million people, is getting a direct hit from this storm. This hasn't happened in Puerto Rico in 100 years, and it's happening now this morning here, a potentially catastrophic storm as we see bits and pieces of large buildings just fly past us in the air.
Now, President Trump has already declared a state of emergency for Puerto Rico, and FEMA resources are ready to move in and help the nation recover from Hurricane Maria. The Category 4 storm is slamming into Puerto Rico again with winds over 150 miles per hour. We'll see reports vary on that later today. But a lot of winds, a lot of rain. And this morning on Fox and Friends, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said the federal government will be there once the storm passes. This is clip two. Roll it, Brent.
The FEMA director, Brock Long, has been working alongside all of the state and local officials, really trying to make sure that we put as many resources in place as possible. Thanks to technology, we have a lot more leeway on the front end of a lot of these storms that are allowing us to pre-position resources. The federal government is doing all that we can to help people in both, you know, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and other surrounding islands as well as these storms are moving in.
All right. Meanwhile, the death toll is going to rise today following that massive earthquake, 7.1 earthquake, that struck Mexico City yesterday, killing at least 217 people, injuring many others, a lot of people missing, many of them children. A school building was one of the things that crumbled yesterday because of the quake. I mean, it's just one of the worst things that's hit Mexico City in a long time. And certainly, guys, we had an earthquake in another part of Mexico earlier this month. So that nation continues to deal with natural disasters, Puerto Rico. And I think with it being Wednesday, a lot of people are maybe preparing for attending tonight's prayer meeting at their church or church service, whatever they might call it. So certainly a time of prayer for us who are not in the path of the storm, not dealing with an earthquake, to be mindful of other people and their situations.
Well, and that's the you know, whenever storms come, I know this is the case in the Mississippi area, northern Mississippi, where our flagship station mm-hmm. is for our entire network. We have thunderstorms that often spawn tornadoes, and it's one of those things you pray. You can pray for your family and you pray for your loved ones, but it's always a kind of a, how exactly do I pray that mm-hmm. they're saying a tornado? Do I, you know, pray for the tornado to move on? We you know, that right. then it hits somebody right. else in the next county. And now this, you know, we haven't had, I don't believe, Chris, we've had a storm season like this for like 12 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
This is one right after another. Mm-hmm. Now, my understanding is that Hurricane Maria is expected to move away from Puerto Rico sometime today, and then it's going to move on to the Dominican Republic mm-hmm. and the Bahamas. And that's the way the model mm-hmm. Goes. But you're right. I mean, it's one of those things where you pray for the hurricane to move on, but it's going to go somewhere.
Right.
I have appreciated the reaction to these storms by the president, mm-hmm. by the administration, and you know, the country, the places that get hit, the people seem to pull together. And I like the idea that the president is thinking about the people in Puerto Rico. It's a government territory, but still, I would like to think that Americans would come to mm-hmm. the aid of other countries in the Caribbean basin, you know, sure. just simply yeah. because that's what people should do during times of disaster.
Yeah, these islands down there, like Puerto Rico, they're going to take, Houston is going to be a long time recovering.
Right.
And I think Florida will recover sooner than Houston. But these islands don't have a lot of the resources. I would probably argue that it might take longer for Puerto Rico or someone
oh, sure.
to recover than Houston.
I mean, they're cash strapped already.
Because,
right.
Right. Yeah, they're short on money financially. And they don't have all the resources available.
Like well, and like your here. Dad said when we were talking about Hurricane Irma, I'm talking about your dad, Tim, mm-hmm. Walker's dad, you know, some of these island nations, really their only main source of income is tourism. Mm-hmm. And these hurricanes, these storms are devastating the tourist areas. Mm-hmm. And as Tim Wildman has stated, if there's no place for a cruise ship to dock,
right.
you know, then you're not going to have right. those tourism dollars. These aren't, you know, these Caribbean nations and islands, there's no industry to speak of. Mm-hmm. They don't have copper mines or anything like that because they're just islands, just, mm-hmm. you know, little small, basically, relatively speaking, little small, you know, piles of lands that, mm-hmm. that arise above, you know, sea level. And so there's, what are they going to do for income? And so, mm-hmm. to your point, Walker, these island nations, they can be devastated for 5-6 years mm-hmm. and find it very difficult to get back on their feet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, the Mexico earthquake, this my understanding is this earthquake hit to the day the hurricane in 19, I mean, the getting my natural disasters mixed mm-hmm. up, the earthquake from 1985.
Okay.
So this is the kind of a freak occurrence. Mm-hmm. But this has been a devastated city that yeah. has had two earthquakes within, what, a couple of weeks?
Right. And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when I was last on. I believe we were talking about Hurricane Harvey, and we were waiting on Irma to hit the Florida at that point. This is National Disaster Preparedness Month, and I know a lot of people are listening. Maybe they're in a part of the country that's not prone to tornadoes. Maybe they've never had an earthquake to their knowledge. They've never dealt with a hurricane. And I know that you can never be fully prepared for a disaster, a natural disaster, or something of that nature. And it would be good, though, if you sat down with your wife, with your kids, with your neighbors, people in your town, neighborhood association, what have you, and just talk about what are we going to do in the event of X?
Right.
How do we respond to that? How can we help one another? What are phone numbers for your loved ones? Things of that nature. It's the uncomfortable conversation that people don't want to have. But when you're in that situation, I guarantee you will have wished that you had a plan. And I know, you know, just to buy some water, to buy some canned goods, batteries for flashlights, maybe have a wad of cash in the event the banking system goes down, things of that nature. We probably should learn from these situations, especially those of us that are not directly impacted by it, so that way when an earthquake happens, when a tornado occurs, when something cataclysmic happens, we all have at least a plan. It might not be executed fully. It might not even meet whatever disaster happens. But certainly, I think we could all learn from this and be able to adapt so that way we're not waiting on someone to come and help us.
Well, it's better than running around like chickens with your head chopped
right.
off. That's an excellent insight, Chris. You know, having a, for example, a family plan in the event of a fire.
Yeah.
Because they and the you know, government agencies always recommend you do this. So you don't assume that everyone gets out of the house. You say, okay, this is what we're going to do. So-and-so is going to come to your room. You're going to go out the window. We're going to meet here by this tree so we know who's out. And it's an excellent point in terms of natural disasters. Is there a meeting place? If we get separated and can't get to each other for several weeks, where is the place we're going to go and meet? Those kind of things. Now, my kids always tease me, and we joke a little bit about me being Captain Safety.
Yeah.
But those are the kind of things that I think are important so that you don't wait until a disaster hits, and then you're saying, well, I don't know where they would go.
It's better to have a plan and never use it than not to have one and need it.
Right. All right. Let's move along to other news stories you have.
Well, you know, talking about President Trump's response to hurricanes and things of that sort, certainly a lot of people are talking about his comments or rhetoric at the UN. A lot of liberals and world leaders are not very happy with President Trump referring to North Korea's communist dictator as Rocket Man and saying we will destroy North Korea if it decides to attack us and other countries. They're saying his rhetoric is not going to help the situation. We need to figure out what it is that North Korea wants. We need to bring them to the table. This is the UN, which hasn't done anything to stop North Korea for the past 25, 30 years, really much longer than that. Hillary Clinton even weighed in. She was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, fresh off his Emmys ratings, just extravaganza, tongue-in-cheek. This is clip one. Clinton was asked about Trump's speech and what she thought about it. Clip one, roll it.
Not call him Rocket Man, the old Elton John song. But to say it clearly, we will not tolerate any attacks on our friends or ourselves. But you should lead with diplomacy. You should lead with the commitment to trying to avoid conflict however you can.
What do you guys think?
Listen, that to me, I got to be careful because I always want to shoot from the hip and speak ugly, but that was foolish, okay? Here's why, okay? You have a leader of a rogue nation who has promised to turn the United States into a pile of ash, okay? Now, he can't do that, but it is a direct threat. He is being incredibly hostile, shooting rockets over Japan, so on and so forth. What former secretary of Hillary Clinton, and I am so happy to be able to use the word former, Hillary Clinton is saying is exactly what they have done with Iran through the years, even when she wasn't secretary of state, she was a senator, but the Obama administration acts as if Iran has not promised to exterminate the nation of Israel. Now, we don't tolerate those kinds of threats in daily life. We don't. If my next door neighbor says I'm going to come over to your house with a shotgun and kill everybody, we call the cops. We take those kind of things seriously. But the Obama administration and these progressives, who, in my opinion, want nothing more than to turn the entire world over to the United Nations or any other kind of global, you know, governing body, what they seem to ignore always is human nature, because they do not believe in a biblical view of human nature, that human nature is fallen. And, you know, Kim Jong-un may be foolish, but he may be evil, you know? And this is something progressives like Hillary Clinton, it drives me crazy. You know, Stephen Colbert, I used to give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit when he was on Comedy Central. He seemed to be a little more even-handed, even though he leaned clearly to the left. But he's gone completely over the edge. And you can hear that in the audience. The audience, I'm sure, almost all progressives, mm-hmm. and they're clapping for Hillary Clinton. And that was just nonsensical. Yeah. And it's that attitude, rather than the tough talk, the clear tough talk of President Trump, that has put us in this situation with both Iran and North Korea.
She wants to talk about being diplomatic and, you know, extending olive branches and singing Kumbaya and things of that nature. She's blamed everybody and their brother, plus their neighbors, for her loss of the election in the last how many ever
months. Well, she's tougher on Donald Trump supporters than she is Kim Jong-un. She called us a basket of deplorables.
Right, right.
And she wants us to go sit at the negotiating table with a guy. I'm reading on Fox News now. North Korea's Kim Jong-un, mm-hmm. plucks teen sex slaves from schools and executes musicians with anti-aircraft guns. So you want to go sit at the negotiating table with this guy?
Right.
That's like saying we should have negotiated with Hitler before
yeah,
we invaded.
This is a story, by the way, that's just coming out.
Yes.
A defector has said that Kim Jong-un uses teenage girls as sex slaves.
Right.
And so what we're dealing with, an evil person. Mm-hmm. And listen, this you can have diplomacy with countries you disagree with, like Turkey.
Right.
Okay. With countries you primarily agree with, you know, in terms of being a Western nation, like France. Listen, I appreciate the president of France, Emmanuel Macron. Mm-hmm. I appreciate his desire to have diplomacy. But I think we should have learned from the last century, during the 20th century, you don't diplomacy with certain types of people, like Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't work.
Right.
And
so
when you're from France, you should know this.
Absolutely. Yes. You should know this.
And you're naive to think you can sit at the negotiating table with people like this. And like you're saying, you know, if you need to talk to Israel or France, these civilized countries who show up at the UN and talk, you know, that's reasonable. But you're not going to cut a deal with this guy. We've been trying this for decades, trying to get North Korea to calm down.
All the way back to Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Hillary Clinton's husband, when he was president.
And I'll guarantee you that if Kim Jong-un shoots a nuke at Los Angeles or New York City, all these Hollywood types and all the mainstream media will be calling Donald Trump for him to fire back.
Right.
Fire back at him. Fire back. And then the whole toleration method won't be existing anymore.
Right. One interesting thing there, you mentioned North Korea's Kim using teenagers as sex slaves. Ivanka Trump, this is one of the overlooked speeches from yesterday, and CNN picked up on this to their credit. Ivanka Trump delivers anti-human trafficking speech at the UN. This, of course, is the first daughter. Ivanka Trump delivered an anti-human trafficking speech Tuesday at the UN General Assembly, calling it, quote, the greatest human rights issue of our time. She says it's a call to action, a call for global unity. She is basically saying her father is prepared to bring the full force and weight of our government to combat human trafficking. You know, a lot of people don't realize it, but this is a situation, human trafficking, that has been playing out for years, decades, maybe even longer. And certainly the UN is one of those organizations, one would think, that could easily combat this. But it is a massive problem. Our Charlie Butts does a number of stories every year on human trafficking. You can go to onenewsnow.com and search for trafficking at the top of the page in the search box. This is a problem in the U.S., not just in big cities, but in small towns. And again, the UN, I think, could do this, but oftentimes what they want to talk about is rhetoric and diplomacy and things that have not worked historically for years, if not decades, especially when it comes to North Korea. What do you guys think?
Well, I forget who said this is an old insult for the United Nations, that it's a glorified debating society. And to a large extent, it is. It does do some good mm-hmm. in trying to get resources, collecting resources and trying to get them to places that need it. But it is an organization without teeth. And even worse at times, it mm-hmm. is an organization that operates contrary to our values mm-hmm. as Christians. They promote abortion. They promote sexual anarchy mm-hmm. around the world. They push those kinds of progressive views onto countries that you want to see a place where you can get Christians and Orthodox Jews and Muslims to agree. It's the United Nations, because those are the only ones who resist the sexual anarchy, for example, being promoted by the United Nations. So it's an organization, in my opinion, that that can still do some good in providing an arena for people to talk out their problems, perhaps to prevent some conflicts, giving them a first step option to bring their complaints, and we need a resolution. These people did this, but you know, it doesn't have a lot of teeth, and primarily it relies on countries like the United States to do the heavy lifting, even while they criticize us and criticize allies like
and
Israel.
They do the anti-Israel resolutions and the one of the committees there that they have. But we send millions, if not billions, of dollars to the UN in various aspects.
We're the biggest financier.
What, to a 25%, I think, of the budget
is covered by the United States. And President Trump said in the campaign or during the transition, he first teased just doing away with the UN funding completely, and then he also teased cutting the funding, you know, and having other people do their part. I wish he would do that, but it seems like he's not on that campaign.
It may seem to some of our listeners heresy what I'm about to say. I think the United Nations can still serve a purpose in terms of ratcheting down tensions sometimes, maybe prevent some sort of a world war. But I would like to see us lower the amount, the percentage that we pay for it. And if the United Nations continues to insult us and our values, then at some point we may just say, well, you know, this is not working for us. You guys continue to have your, you know, little, and move it somewhere else, you know. But as long as it provides a, you know, we've got Nikki Haley in there, who's our UN ambassador. She's doing a great job representing American values, and so
as long as it serves our interests.
Yes, that's which is what we should be involved in, no matter what.
Right.
Is and that's part of President Trump's appeal. Is he said in his speech, you know, every nation should look after its own citizens, you know, values and interests first, even while respecting the sovereignty of other nations. All right, Chris, we have about 30 seconds left. Do you have anything quick that you can just mention, an update or something?
Well, talking about funding, I thought about this when Walker mentioned it. USA Today has a survey out. They're branding this as an exclusive. Less than 25% of Republicans in Congress endorse border wall funding. Obviously not the thing a lot of Donald Trump's base certainly they don't want to hear this morning.
Well, you know, Walker, we talked about this a little bit in our story meeting. This is a huge problem for President Trump's base.
Yeah.
Because we expected with the election of a Republican president that we would see some action on, and the real drag on some of the action on these things is our Republicans.
Yeah, that's shocking. We wonder why we're not going to get border wall funding, or well, I won't say that. While we're very weary of getting border wall funding, and why it seems like it's taken forever, is because 25% of Republicans, not Democrats, Republicans in Congress won't endorse border wall funding.
Well, you know, you just sit there and you go, well, how in the world we can get anything done if you can't even get Republicans on board? And I don't know. You know, maybe this is why President Trump has offered some, you know, movement on the DACA, the Dreamer.
Yeah.
The Dreamers, is maybe he thinks Democrats are the only ones who can help him get the border wall built. I don't know.
I'll guarantee if you polled Republicans, how many of you campaign on border wall funding, it would be over 50% of Republicans.
Yes.
They also campaigned a lot on Obamacare repeal. And say how good
yes, a lot on it. Well, folks, I know some of you are just shaking your heads out there. You're doing the same thing we're doing. We're going to take a short 2-3 minute break. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio Network. We'll be right back.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
My mom and dad, and I praise God for it, it did not harm me, it did not warp me, but my mom and dad were spankers.
We'll also talk with Jan Markell of Understanding the Times, and we'll get news headlines and analysis from Chris Woodward and Steve Jordahl.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Peace. Be still. Why are you so afraid?
Our nation is in the throes of an especially treacherous hurricane season. The magnitude of devastation is heartbreaking. But with heartbreak comes hope. Faithful believers are going in after the storms to help survivors.
We have seen the hand of God, which no man can control.
Disasters bring an opportunity for you and I to show Jesus.
Whether hurricanes, disease, financial ruin, or even loss of life, God is faithful through the storm. Even the wind and the waves obey Him. As He is faithful, may we continue to be faithful to share God's love. A reminder from the American Family Association.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. Parents are accusing a North Carolina high school of indoctrinating their kids with anti-Trump rhetoric. They say a French teacher at Franklin Academy High School put up a white supremacy pyramid poster in her classroom. The pyramid helps students determine if they are an overt or covert white supremacist. For example, if you celebrate Columbus Day or eat a taco on Cinco de Mayo or don't believe in white privilege, that makes you a white supremacist. Parents reached out to the American Lens website after their complaints were ignored by school administrators. I reached out to school leadership. They declined to comment. The pyramid also mentions the phrase "Make America Great Again" as a sign of white supremacy, which could explain why the teacher threatened to send any student who uttered the phrase to the office. Could someone please explain to me what any of this has to do with teaching kids how to speak French? S'il vous plaît? I'm Todd Starnes.
Brian Fisher here. It turns out President Trump was right about Obama wiretapping Trump Tower. Obama turns into the Wolf of Wall Street. Climate Scientologists admit their models of global warming are all wrong. Netanyahu tells the UN to read the Bible. And regressives reintroduce racial segregation. That and more today on Focal Point at 105 Central.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. It is Wednesday, September 20th. I just like to repeat the days. I just can't believe it's we're past... Labor Day, we're starting to get, or at least hope to approach cool weather. And then you got Thanksgiving and Christmas, and boom, it's 2018, and we get to look forward to another election. And it just doesn't get any better than that. Joining me in studio, Chris Woodward, news anchor for American Family News. Chris is sitting in for Fred Jackson this week on and on into next week. And then Walker Wildman, assistant to the president. Walker, we are live streaming on Facebook. Live?
That's right. We're live streaming all the Today's Issues Facebook page, and all the news stories that Chris has mentioned will be posted there for your further reading.
All right. And then we have the always more than capable Abe Hamilton. How do you like to be called you more than capable? Well, that's like saying you're better than mediocre. You're outstanding, Abe. Public policy analyst and general counsel for AFA. Welcome. We bring you in on Wednesdays.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
How's your show going? I listen to your show, by the way. I usually split between you and Urban Family on the way home. I got about 20 minutes. So, and I love your intro to the show is always Bible-based.
Yes.
And I'm just going to tell you, not just because you're sitting here and not just because we're on the air, Because I've texted you before, just some outstanding biblical insights that kind of lay the foundation for your show. How do you feel like your show is going? And let our listeners know how they can pick it up and listen for themselves.
Well, I think it's going well. I mean, I guess you guys and the listeners can let me know. I'm certainly enjoying it, enjoying interacting with the callers. And if you listen at 5, you don't have to split between AFR and Urban, because guess
what?
It's on both.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's on all three.
It's on both. So, yeah, it comes on at 5 p.m. Central, 5 to 6 p.m. Central, on AFR and Urban Family Talk.
And it's also on our Inspirational Network. It's all three.
Yep. Yeah, it's on all three on Inspirational Network as well. And it's quite a ride.
All right. Well, listen, I want us to come back and we'll get Abe's take on this, because just before the break, we kind of rushed to try to shoehorn it in, because we had about 60 seconds. But I want us to briefly revisit this, because I think probably there's some of our listeners who are going, I'm not quite sure I caught those statistics regarding the percentage of Republicans in Congress now who support building a wall on the border.
Yes, and many of those were probably put there based on things they said in their campaign ads. But nonetheless, the USA Today Network asked the 534 members of the House and Senate whether they support the $1.6 billion down payment approved by the House, and found fewer than 25% of Republicans willing to stand up for the plan. In other words, the headline here: less than 25% of Republicans in Congress endorse border wall funding.
Even though a large percentage of them probably voted for it.
Right.
So this is basically, I'm going to vote for it so I don't get in trouble with my constituents, but I'm not going to publicly defend it. Am I giving them too much credit, or these
members? I would agree with that.
Okay.
They know. And when Paul Ryan and House leadership stands up and says, we have funded President Trump's border wall, they all know, and we all know, that that's a half-truth. You have passed a bill which funds some of it, but they know and we know it's not going to get to the president's desk. And so I don't really want to hear we funded this or we funded that until it's become law. Then you actually have funded it.
Yeah, because Abe, we all know from repeal and replace, which we heard for almost the entire last three quarters of President Obama's two terms in office, his administration, where Republicans were repealing and replacing Obamacare about three times a week. You know, we all know how that, when they had the chance.
We lost
to
count.
Do it,
there were so many repeal votes.
Oh, I think it was in the teens, wasn't it?
Oh, it was 50 plus.
Oh, okay.
During Obama's time.
So what is your take? Are you surprised at what Chris just read there in terms of Republicans in this border?
I hate to say it, but it's startling to hear the numbers, the percentages, but it doesn't surprise me that you have a number of Republicans who are willing to show face for their constituents when they really don't believe in something.
Mm-hmm.
And then to Walker's point about not wanting to hear it, hey, we funded the border wall. Oh, you're going to hear it, buddy boy.
Yeah.
You are going to hear that all 2018. You're going to hear it, even though, as this poll is showing, that they don't believe in it. And it's just disgusting.
Hmm. Well, Walker, let's make this last comment, and then we can move on, because it is kind of disgusting. But I think I'm discouraged. I'll just say that as a conservative. I'm starting to get cynical.
Right.
I'm moving from discouragement to cynicism.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of whatever the conservative movement is in Congress, I'm beginning to doubt that it exists or that it exists as more than 10 or 15% of those. So if we're conservatives, we were excited to think of conservative principles being put into law, because we had the House, we have the Senate. We had the conservatives had, President Trump in office, who we were pretty sure was conservative, at least on some things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now we get this where we're talking about Republicans voting to fund the wall, but, really they're thinking it's never going to happen.
Right. And some folks may be saying, well, I've been cynical for the last 8 to 10 years because I knew none of this was going to happen. And that may be true, but when President Obama was in office, Republicans always had an out. They could always say, President Obama will veto it. And they were probably right. He would veto it because he fought for his values.
Right.
But now that President Trump was elected, we have Republicans controlling Congress and the White House. We actually thought going home on November 9th at 2 in the morning when President Trump won, some of these things might get done. But it's coming to show and coming to pass that these things probably aren't going to get done because Republicans don't mean what they say on the campaign trail. Thus, we are now getting cynical.
All right.
I think this is why they have talked about and tried to get tax reform as much as they've talked about it and tried to get it. The reason being is because if people think they're bringing more money home in their paycheck, if people see they're paying less in taxes to the IRS in April or what, whenever it is that they might be filing, they, I think, are banking on that being enough for them to overlook the things they said they were going to do and have not done yet or may never do. And the really damaging thing here is, you know, you had people saying this, the Senate has not taken up the measure on right. The border wall, and the Congress has since passed a temporary spending bill to keep the government running for the next few months, but that puts off until December a battle over the wall and other Trump spending priorities. They're going to be dealing with hurricanes, how are we going to help Puerto Rico, all that stuff come Christmas.
Speaking of tax reform, here's my cynical view of that. I don't think that's going to happen. And here's why, not just because Republicans don't mean what they say, but tax reform has so many moving parts. Mm-hmm. Every state senator and every state congressman has their own interest on how the taxes will affect their state. Healthcare compared to tax reform is a little bit more simple. So I think that what they're going to realize with this tax reform fight is that they can't give everybody what they want because you make one person happy in one state, you make the other person mad.
Yeah.
So anyways, that'll be interesting. I hope they get it, but I would not be surprised if they don't.
Well, Walker, you're so cynical, but
I know.
But welcome to the party.
All right. It is better to put confidence in the Lord than to put it in man. Psalm 118:8.
That applies here.
Yes.
That is my political experience.
Bring
now.
It back to the Bible, as yes. Abe does.
Bring it back to the Bible. All right, what other stories you got, Chris?
Well, this is certainly, you know, a lot of us are focused on North Korea and other, you know, situations in the world, but we still have the situation involving the Iran nuclear deal. Secretary of State Tillerson was on special report with Brett Baer last night on Fox News, and he says that the Iran nuclear deal really has to be revisited. There are parts of it that they're not sticking to, parts of it that still concern the U.S. and other parts of the world. Do you guys think we need to revisit the Iran nuclear deal?
Well, I will say this. I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. I think that if Iran wants a nuclear weapon, there's virtually nothing we can do to stop them if sanctions don't work. And to me, I mean, we're not going to go to war with Iran. That's what I'm saying. We're not going to go to war with Iran mm-hmm. to keep them from getting nuclear weapons. And if we blow up, you know, this place or that place, I think all we can do is slow them down. The only hope is sanctions. I'm just not sure how sanctions can work unless you get the whole world
right.
involved, and then you've got to have, you know, on-site inspections and those kind of things. And I think we've learned from North Korea and other places, it's just easy to cheat. So I mean, I know it may seem like a defeatist attitude. Mm-hmm. It's going to be terrible for the world if Iran gets nuclear weapons. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure how you stop them, you know? So, anyway.
Well, for your encouragement for the day.
Yeah, encouragement and edification.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could stop them, but it's going to take the resolve, as you mentioned,
right.
of the world around America. And I think it can happen. Now, will it happen? It's another discussion. I think it could happen because as far as North Korea is concerned, they're cheating, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but they weren't really letting anybody in to inspect
no.
anything, mm-hmm. so there weren't any inspections going on. You know,
we were bribing them.
Yeah,
we were bribing them by giving them.
And
know.
To me, this Iran deal seems to be
yeah.
North Korea 2.0,
right.
to where it's a repetition of the bribery that we experienced there. And kind of recent history is a good teacher. We probably need to do something sooner than later because
yeah.
Rocket Man today
yeah.
is
yeah.
Rocket. What do you call it? The Ayatollahs tomorrow,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Rocket
yeah.
Ayatollahs tomorrow. So it's incumbent upon the world, and more specifically, China. You know, you have some of the people right around Iran, those nations. It won't take the entire world, but just some of the stronger parties that are contributing to what these people's ability to develop the nuclear capability.
Well, and part of the danger for the United States, of course, is that either North Korea or Iran, if they develop the nuclear capabilities that they seem, well, North Korea already has nuclear weapons. They're trying to develop the capacity, the capability of putting them on an ICBM and reaching New York or wherever they might want to reach. But is getting these nukes into the hands of nefarious characters, terrorists, and then, you know, putting it on a ship or something like that and blowing up Miami or, I mean, that's the real, you know, horrifying scenario that, you know, we're looking at. So anyway, we will continue to follow this as the Trump administration tries to figure out a way to stop Iran from getting a nuke or nukes, plural. Mm-hmm. All right, Walker, who's our next guest?
Yes, right now we have on the phone with us Dr. Richard Land, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, or SES, as some say. He has a radio spot that runs on our network right now. And thank you, Dr. Land, for joining the show.
Well, I'm always delighted to be with you and to say hello to AFR's listeners.
Well, Dr. Land, before we get to the reason why we had you on the program, perhaps you'd like to tell us your plan to stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon.
Well, first of all, we have to stop North Korea, because if North Korea gets the ability to deliver nuclear weapons, they're going to sell them to the Iranians. There's already a lot of cross-fertilization, we've got to put the hammer down on Iran. We've got to put the hammer down on North Korea. And I think it's time we finally have a – thank God we have a president who's going to talk Turkey and who says, look, you know, we are not going to allow a nuclearized Korean Peninsula. The only solution to this problem is for North Korea to denuclearize. And they're not going to do that unless they're compelled to do so.
Well, Dr.
Lane, if we compel them to do so, this will be – see, what we do with North Korea will be very instructive to the Iranians. If we force North Korea to give us nuclear weapons, then the Iranians are going to put their nuclear program on hold until after Mr. Trump's president, until he's out, because they don't want to have that happen to them.
Well, Dr. Land, let me just give you a moment or two, a minute or two, whatever time you want to take, and just talk to them. We have obviously a lot of Christian listeners who hear us talking, who see news stories about this madman, the president of the UN called him Rocket Man, Kim Jong-un in North Korea, the Iranians with their desire to get nuclear weapons to exterminate the nation of Israel. What would you say to Christians who are just plain scared? We're not even talking about hurricanes and earthquakes and Antifa riots. We're talking about the possibility of nuclear war. How would you encourage Christians during this time of uncertainty?
Well, I would say that pessimism, as Chuck Colson said, pessimism is not an option for Christians. And frankly, I don't think fear is. What do we have to be afraid of? We have a relationship with the King of Kings. And the worst thing that can happen to us is we die and we get to go to heaven and be with Jesus forever. And God is in control, and I believe He does expect us to act wisely as He directs us to act. I would say that Christians should pray for our leaders. I pray that God will give them wisdom and courage and discernment to make the decisions that need to be made to keep Americans safe and to keep people around the world safe. We do live in a dangerous world, made much more dangerous by the catastrophic presidency of Barack Obama. I can't think of a single place in the world that's not worse off than it was before Mr. Obama took office. And so Mr. Trump has been dealt a pretty lousy hand, but he's going to do his best. I have tremendous confidence in the people around him. I was very encouraged the other day to hear what, if you read carefully, what Secretary of Defense Gattis said, it sounds as if we may have some weapons that could decapitate the North Korean regime without resorting to nuclear weapons. We may have the magnetic impulse stuff. We know that Boeing's got a rocket that they can send over a headquarters, and they'll knock out all communications. So that if Kim Jong-un picked up his phone, it wouldn't work. If he tried to start a computer, it wouldn't work. He wouldn't be able to communicate with his military.
Interesting. Well, Dr. Land, you have a conference coming up in October. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Well, we do. It's Faith That Thinks is the theme, and we're going to be premiering AFR's new movie, which we're really excited about. I'm a movie buff, so I love having that. We're going to have The God Who Speaks, and the first time it's going to be shown publicly is going to be there at the conference, and we're really looking forward to it. And we already have about 850 people registered. We're probably going to have around 1,400 when all's said and done. We've got tremendous speakers, Dr. Norm Geisler and Dr. Hugh Ross is going to speak. We're going to have a debate between Richard Howe, our professor emeritus, and a person who was a minister who's now an atheist, which I think is going to be very instructive, both for the crowd and for the atheist.
Amen.
This is our 25th anniversary as a school. We are going to have a birthday cake, and it will be chocolate because I get to pick it.
Well, Dr. Land, this is Abraham Hamilton. I've interviewed you before. Always
yes,
a
sir.
Compelling interview. You alluded to your encouragement following, I believe you were alluding to President Trump's speech before the United Nations General Assembly. What is your response to what only, in my opinion, can be categorized as a very strong speech by the president?
Well, I was very pleased with it. I thought that it was about time that somebody went in there and talked turkey to these striped pants diplomats. the diplomatic way. I mean, I saw John Kerry being interviewed this morning. What a miserable excuse for a human being.
Tell us how you really feel.
He hasn't been right about anything his whole adult life. He was a traitor to his country, and I don't use that term lightly, but he was negotiating strategy with the enemy negotiators at the Paris Peace Talks while we were actually in combat in Vietnam. And John Kerry said, well, you know, President Trump's speech was counterproductive. It's not going to lead to diplomacy. We've tried John Kerry's way for 25 years.
Right.
And it hasn't worked. It's time now. You know, we've kicked, I think our ambassador to the U.N. said, we kicked the can down the road. There's no more road left.
Yeah.
We're very close. We're very close to the North Koreans having the ability to deliver a nuclear-tipped intercontinental missile on New York City. And that's simply intolerable. We cannot allow that any more than the Israelis can allow the Iranians to have a missile with a nuclear tip that can hit Israel. It's just simply intolerable. It cannot be. It's an existential threat. We cannot allow it to happen. And as far as I'm concerned, the president would be violating his oath of office to protect the American people if he did not deal with this and force Kim Jong-un to get rid of his nuclear stockpile and his missile program.
Well, they certainly, the president is certainly in a position of, pardon the expression, darned if you do, darned if you don't.
Yes,
I mean, if he doesn't do anything and Kim Jong-un launches something that reaches Hawaii, let alone the continental United States, people are going to say, why didn't you do something? If he does do something, people are going to say, why did you do something? So
he's
really in a very, very...
The one card that we haven't played that I would like to see us play that I think might do it short of war, because the Chinese can pull the plug on this guy anytime they want to. Yeah, Kim Jong-un is a wholly owned subsidiary of China. If we said to the Chinese, look, either you deal with this punk, you deal with your juvenile delinquent, or we're going to give Japan and South Korea nuclear weapons, and we're going to give Taiwan nuclear weapons to defend themselves. Now, I guarantee you, they would start ordering depends by the gross in the Politburo in China if we said that. Because the last thing they want is a nuclear Japan.
Right.
The last thing they want is a nuclear South Korea. Hmm. And the last thing they want is a nuclear Taiwan. And we say, look, either you get rid of this guy, and we guarantee a nuclear-free Korean Peninsula, or we're going to give the Japanese nuclear weapons. We're going to give the Korean, that South Korean's nuclear weapons, we're going to give the Taiwanese nuclear weapons. And I guarantee you that will get the attention of the Chinese in a nanosecond, in a New York second.
Yeah, I actually like that. That's Taiwan, that might start a war. I don't know with China.
Well, because if we gave them nuclear weapons, it wouldn't start a war. Well, the Chinese know. You see, the dirty little secret is I know why Kim Jong-un wants this stuff. He wants to stay in power.
Right.
If the Ukraine had not followed our urging and given up their nuclear weapons when they became a separate country when the Soviet Union broke up, the Ukraine would not be at war with Russia. Mm. They gave up their nuclear weapons. They had the third largest stockpile of nuclear weapons in the world after the Soviet Union broke up. And they gave their weapons to us to be destroyed. And we promised that we would guarantee their security.
That's right.
Which we didn't. Mm. Gaddafi gave up his nuclear program, and look what happened to him.
Right.
Charles de Gaulle, way back in the 1950s, said, a country is not really a country if it can't defend itself, and we need nuclear weapons to do that. So he broke out of NATO because he said, I'm not sure Americans will die to defend France.
Right.
And he said, I don't think Americans will. I'm not certain America will let its cities be incinerated to protect France. So he built his own independent nuclear force of about 50 bombers that could make the one-way trip to the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
They couldn't fly back. And he had pilots that were ready to make the one-way trip and deliver their nuclear bombs on the Soviets to guarantee that the Russians would never attack France.
Yeah, and West Germans famously said that the United States, this was back when the Soviet Union existed and the Warsaw Pact and NATO, the West Germans said the United States will gladly fight to the last German. You know, that was their kind
of... That's why we had 11,500 soldiers in Berlin.
Right.
They were hostage.
Yeah.
That if the Russians tried to take Berlin, there were going to be American death. That's the reason we had 32,000 Americans in Korea.
It's a tripwire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tripwire. They're sort of the hostage to make certain, because if the North Koreans attack South Korea, they're going to kill Americans.
Yeah.
And if you kill Americans, then it pretty much guarantees that there's going to be a response.
Right. Dr. Lin, we are out of time. We congratulate you, by the way, on Southern Evangelical Seminary. You said 25th anniversary?
Yes, sir.
Well, congratulations, and I'll tell you, it is heartening to people like us to know that there are still Bible-believing, Bible-preaching seminaries in this country. We all know the sorry state of so many seminaries throughout the country and around the world. So congratulations on 25 years.
We're training Green Berets, Rangers, and SEALs for Jesus.
Amen.
Find out about the conference by going to ses.edu.
All right. The conference can be ses.edu. Folks, check it out. There's still time to sign up. Dr. Land, thank you, as always, for being a guest on American Family Radio.
Well, thank you for all that y'all do for the kingdom.
Amen. Thank you, sir. All right, we are going to take a five-minute break. I was going to say a short break, but a five-minute break for news. Abe Hamilton, thank you so much for being with us.
No problem.
Folks, check out his programming on all three networks for American Family and listen to it and at least catch the first 15, 20 minutes because it's always good Bible preaching. Thank you, Abe.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we'll be back in five. Make sure you come back and join us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.